Imagine this. There is a room with five monkeys. In this room, there hangs a bunch of bananas from the ceiling, and underneath the bunch of bananas is a ladder. The monkeys can easily reach the bananas, but none of them moves. They all sit in the corner. Occasionally, one of them may glance up at the bananas, but none of them ever move to go get them. Whatever, what would cause monkeys to act this way? Hey, this is Eric Dieter. This is the Monday Morning Mindset. I'm your host of the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast and an ultra runner mindset coach. And this Monday Morning Mindset is where I share tools and ideas to help you develop a stronger mindset, whether it's for running or for life. Having a strong mindset is important because it determines your success, whether you're going to succeed or fail. Your mindset can make all of the difference. So what's the deal with this group of monkeys in this story? According to the story that I heard, is that these monkeys began going after the bananas. Actually, it was just one monkey in the room. And every time he went for the ladder to get a banana, he was sprayed with cold water. The researchers repeated this until the monkey completely ignored the bananas. A new monkey was introduced, and the one that was sprayed with the cold water would prevent the new monkey from going after the bananas either, until both monkeys were sitting in the corner and wouldn't touch the bananas. One by one, new monkeys were introduced, and always the ones who were already in the room fought with them and conditioned them to not go after the bananas. Now, I don't know, monkey communication, they don't have language like we do. Maybe they've got some way to say, don't do this, this is a bad thing. But eventually what happened was the original monkey was removed, but the others that had been conditioned by the group never ever went after the bananas. Now, I was told this story as fact. It was a scientific study. The speaker sold it to me as, being real. I have since found out that the research may have never happened. But I use this as a story, and I think it's a great explanation, because we as human beings do this. This is how we get our limiting beliefs. And that is one of the things that is, as a mindset coach, I help people deal with. Because all of us have those limiting beliefs. All of us have been that monkey that has come into the world, come into this new place, and the crowd around us tells us what we can and can't do. And there are things, that you just get that from your upbringing. So I want to talk about limiting beliefs, and there are three ways that you get your limiting beliefs. The first one is illustrated by this story of the monkeys, and I'm going to call this folklore. Now, the technical definition for folklore is actually, I'm stretching it a little bit, but what I mean is folklore is the stories and customs and beliefs that you get from your group. Wherever you land in life, wherever you're born, your environment, and usually mostly your parents are responsible. You pick up all of their beliefs, all of their stories, all of the things that you can and can't do, it just is ingrained in you from your childhood. In fact, between the time of being a toddler and about age 7, children are in a hypnotic state. You don't have the rational the rational logic, that part of your brain is not turned on. That's why kids can pick up things so fast. And things, when you're raising kids, there are things you don't want your kids to know until they're, maybe a little bit older. And they pick those things up anyway. They're like a sponge. The brain is like a sponge in those years. And all of those things you pick up about how the world works and what your role is and how you actually fit into whatever group you're in. I call this the folklore way of getting your limiting beliefs. The second way of getting your limiting beliefs. Now you get other beliefs as well, but I'm talking about beliefs that limit you when you get to be an adult. These are certain mindsets that you picked up that you didn't really have much of a choice in. Folklore is one of those, in that you're kind of conditioned and to believe certain things about life and about who you are that when you get to be in adulthood may not be working for you anymore and may actually hold you back from things you want to do. That's what we're talking about with limiting beliefs. Second way you get limiting beliefs. I'm calling this the flea circus. Now, I didn't know there, I don't know if there are still flea circuses around, but a flea circus is they train fleas to do circus acts. And part of the initial training for fleas is that it's a certain kind of flea. But if you put these fleas into a jar, they'll jump out. I mean, the whatever fleas that they use for flea circuses, they're pretty, they've got a pretty good jump. And so any jar that they put them in, the fleas will just jump out. So to begin the training of fleas for the flea circus, they put them in a jar and put a lid on them. The fleas will jump up, boom, hit the lid, boom, hit the lid, boom, hit the lid. After a certain amount of time, the fleas realize that, you know, this is as high as I'm going to ever be allowed to jump, is the height of the lid of the jar. And once those fleas get accustomed to the fact that the lid is on the jar, you can pull the lid off and the fleas will never jump any higher than that place that they're conditioned to. That is the second way you and I pick up limiting beliefs. Usually that happens, you know, in teenage years. You're still kind of you're still trying to make your way through life and figure out, you know, how life works. And you're actually taking some of those things that you learned in the folklore setting. You're taking those beliefs, taking them into the world, and trying them out. Sometimes you'll find out that, hey, the things that I learned as a child aren't really working in the real world, and those will drop away. Usually not. Usually what happens is that you keep all of those things that you learned in the first stage of the folklore, and you add onto them the flea circus beliefs, the things that you've bumped your head against over and over and over. Now, for some of us, you know, a couple of times of failure and we're like, yeah, forget it. That's not for me. There are things that, you know, because of, you know, depending on what that your limiting beliefs are, sometimes we get very easy to give up on things rather than, you know, trying to think, well, maybe we can break through. Maybe that lid isn't there anymore. So I call the second way of getting limiting beliefs the flea circus. The third thing is, third way of getting limiting beliefs, and this is actually a little bit bigger than just limiting beliefs, is I'm calling this cutting off the end of the roast. Story is that the newlyweds and the wife was going to cook a loin roast. So loin roasts are a fairly good size, and she got all of the stuff out. She cut 3 inches off the end and set it aside, put the rest of the roast in the pan, stuck it in the oven. Her new husband said, "Dear, why are you cutting off the end of the roast?" And she says, "Well, that's the way you cook this. You always have to cut 3 inches off the end because that's just the way it's done." And he says, "Well, you know, your pan's plenty big enough. You can, you know, why can't you put that in there?" She says, "No, you have to cut the 3 inches off." And after some discussion, she called up her mom and says, "Mom, why do we cut 3 inches off the roast? And her mom says, "Well, I don't know. That's the way your grandma always did it. And I've done that all my life." So they called up grandma, and grandma says, "Well, you know, back when I first started cooking them, my pan wasn't big enough to cook the whole thing. So I had to cut 3 inches off." So those kinds of limiting beliefs are things that, for some person in the past, in your past, it made sense. There was a reason for doing whatever you do. And that belief gets passed down from generation to generation. This is how we do things. So I call that this is how we do things is your approach to problem solving, your approach to, there are a lot of things that you have picked up as family traditions, and that's just the way it's done. And you may have, if you ever have to be around somebody new and agree on how to hang the toilet paper, how to squeeze the toothpaste, there are a lot of things. This is the way you do things, and you come across somebody else who does it the opposite way, and you go like, well, your first instinct is to say, well, that's wrong, but it's not really wrong. It's just different. These three things, the folklore, the flea circus, and cutting off the end of the roast, are ways that you pick up limiting beliefs. And most of the time, we never pay any attention to those beliefs. Most of the time, we've figured out some sort of way of taking all of those things and making our way through life in a way that is not necessarily really great, but it works. And we make our way through life in this sort of in between of like, life. It's not like life sucks for us, but we're not overwhelmingly setting the world on fire. We're not overwhelmingly happy either. We hit this kind of middle ground. So the thing that happens is that when you decide, I'm really get kind of tired of just this mediocre, okay lifestyle. I'd like to do something that is exciting. I'd like to do something epic. I'd like to do something that sets my soul on fire. You make that decision and you still have all of these things that has been working for you for, okay, that are going to start dragging you down. Whenever you decide you're going to change your mindset, you have these limiting beliefs, these things that you've learned from folklore, you've learned from the flea circus of banging your head, and learned from things of, like cutting off the end of the roast. So what do you do if you want to have something different? I'm going to give you three steps. Now, these are very simple to say, a little bit more difficult to put into practice, but this is really the process. If once you decide you want to do something different, you want to get out of that rut, you want to get out of that just kind of mediocre life and do something epic, these are the steps you're going to have to do. First of all, you have to see what you believe. Most of us don't ever take time to actually realize that we've got these patterns, we've got these habits, we've got these beliefs running through our heads about how we approach life and what we do with our lives. And we just kind of go with the flow, and we don't ever question. So the first step is to start paying attention. Pay attention to the things that you do, and not necessarily looking at why you do them or trace them back to their origins. You don't have to do that, but just realize that you have these kinds of patterns that are automatic behaviors that every time you encounter certain situations, that trigger just sets off an automatic response. Being able to step back and see what you're doing and see the fact that those are automatic responses and identifying what they are is the first step. Maybe that's the most difficult step because just it's become so much of a habit. We think that that's just the way the world is and that's who we are. And it feels like, well, why would you ever want to change that? Or why would you even need to change that? But you have to identify those kinds of beliefs, wherever they came from. You have to identify those first. Second step, you have to ask yourself why. You have to start questioning those beliefs. When the thing comes up, like, why do I cut off the end of the roast? Why do I think that there's a barrier that I can only jump this high? Why is that still something that I believe? Because those things, the restrictions on the how high you can jump may not apply anymore. You may be in a different place. You may not be sitting in that jar with the rest of the fleas. You may be somewhere else. Ask yourself that question, why, and start questioning, why do I do these things? And then the third thing is ask yourself, why not? Why not do something different? Why not jump up again and see if maybe that lid is no longer there and I can jump out of the jar? Why not do something different than my parents had always done or what I'd learned in childhood? Why not cook the entire roast? Why not try something new? These three things: stepping back, looking at yourself, looking at what you do, and what your automatic behaviors are, and being able to identify them, asking yourself why do I do this, and asking the question why not That is how you get out of your rut. That is how you get past those limiting beliefs and start stepping toward doing whatever epic thing it is you want to do. Now, if you're satisfied with life and you're just like, okay, I don't want to bother. You know, there are a lot of people who are that way. It's like, it's too much work to go through that. But for some of us, we can't live that way for too long. For some of us, we've lived that way all of our lives. And we're like, I've got to figure out a way to get out of this. Those are the steps. So it's, like I said, it is not easy paying attention to what you believe, asking yourself why not, but will you answer that question? Will you answer that question? Will you answer that question? No, this is not something that I want to continue doing. This is not the life I want to live. I can assure you that it is possible to change those beliefs. It is possible to have a life that is exciting. That's what I do as a life coach, to help people get out of their ruts and find their epic thing. If I can help you, give me a message to hear through the podcast, ultramindsetpodcast.run, or you can contact me through Instagram at Eric Dieter, ERICDEETER. Thanks for listening. I will see you next time.